What's going on, guys, and welcome to episode 107 of the Foundation First Fitness Show with Bob Echoen. Today is the first segment that is going to be off YouTube. It's a decision I had to make just because the viewership and engagement was just not high enough on YouTube. And I just didn't want to burden myself with the amount of time I needed to literally put out a YouTube episode every single time with all the titling and the keywords and all that stuff. So there's a lot that goes into posting on YouTube. And I wanted to use that time, and I thought it was better suited for me to post my other clips, my tutorials, my follow along clips. I have a lot of plans for YouTube as well in the new year, in the coming year. And I really just wanted to focus a little bit more on that instead of having to take so much time away to post these episodes there, where I wasn't getting the engagement I was, or not even nearly as much as I am on the podcast version of this show. So from now on, you will be finding the show strictly on podcast for those of you listening out there. So moving on from that, today's episode is following our series on seven things every athlete should be doing, and we are touching on hydration. Now, hydration is a big thing in training. It's a big component of nutrition. As I spoke last time, nutrition had its own segment, but I think had its own segment, but I wanted water to have its own segment simply because it is such a huge part of training, and a lot of stuff gets almost lost in understanding, and there's so much information out there, as there is with nutrition, but there is so much information out there about hydration, and there is so much misconception about hydration. And it's one of the things that we often don't even realize how much it affects us, not just in our sport, but outside of our sport as well, and why these things are so important, why this topic is so important for us on the daily basis, just trying to make sure that, you know, we are doing what's right for us as humans and how we're going to be able to function better throughout our day. So, you know, water is essentially the most essential component during your day in terms of what you're consuming. You know, I never know what the number is. I think it's more than 60% of our body is made up of water. And a misbalance and an imbalance in water and hydration levels could have widespread effects throughout your body, many of which could be very drastic and can cause a lot of problems. So it's very important that you do take your hydration seriously. Benefits of hydration are actually in quite numerous. I'm going to talk about them on the physiology level. Okay, so what's going on in your body? There are quite a few. So essentially, homeostasis of body functions, meaning keeping the body functions stable, nothing changes. Your body likes to find a nice sweet spot of how to function and the things that are going on in your body, production of hormones, digestion, thought process, cardiovascular, everything likes to stay balanced, and water does contribute tremendously to that. So keeping the body functions at that stable level is really important for you to be able to perform better and not have to deal with many complications throughout your day. Not having shifts in these levels is super important. Transporter for a lot of nutrients. Water is a huge transporter for a lot of nutrients that you do consume throughout your day. It does allow the breakdown of those nutrients as well. So it does help dissolve them so that they can be absorbed into the body. Water does help with temperature regulation. So thermal regulation, meaning when you are training and when you are being active throughout your day, one of the ways your body does try to dissipate that the heat from your body is, as many of you do know, is sweat. The other that you don't actually notice is circulation. So circulation of the blood is usually how the body is actually able to actually rid you of a lot of that heat as well. So water does play a huge role in thermoregulation, allowing your body to be at the optimal temperature that 30, that sweet, like 36 and a half, 37 degrees Celsius range to be able to function properly without your body overheating and requiring you to stop functioning and stop training. Another area that, you know, we don't really talk about is lubricating joints. It does help with lubrication of joints, making sure that the body, that your joints are actually able to function properly and move smoothly without as much resistance and restriction. Ridding the body of waste. It helps your kidneys, actually remove the waste in your body so that your body can function better. And that is a huge component of digestion as well. It's what allows your body to continuously absorb new nutrients, produce things properly, and reduce that toxic load on your body. But what about the benefits that aren't really spoken about, or what are the effects that we don't really speak about? Things that are a little bit less physiological or physiologically evident, as we would think as usual. So one of the things that happens is actually mental focus. And recently we started to realize that if someone is dehydrated or someone is not properly hydrated, mental focus actually goes down. So when you are feeling like you are struggling just a little bit, in terms of focusing, one of the areas that you should usually do, a lot of people reach for a coffee to kind of like wake them up because they feel like they're getting tired. And usually they'll go to coffee as that resource. And they'll usually feel that their body starts improving in terms of focus and alertness. The caffeine does help, but actually one of the things that helps even more than that is actually the water, is your hydration level. So what I would tell you is make sure that your hydration level is on point. And the next time you feel a little tired, instead of reaching for that cup of coffee, especially later on in your day when you are struggling, because what happens is, as I've mentioned before in the sleep segment, in the recovery segment, that if you are consuming caffeine a little bit later in your day, you will be struggling, or you may struggle from getting enough sleep. And you want to make sure that when you are, you know, consuming coffee, it's going to be earlier in the day, so that your body has the ability to kind of like work off all of that revving of your engine, if you would. So I would tell you that if it's later in the day, after about 12 to 1, I would say if you are feeling tired, if you are feeling restricted, you are feeling a little bit more lethargic, I would say reach for a glass of water instead and just try to improve your hydration level. That might be one of the factors. There's a ton of other things that could be happening as well. So I don't want to just say that water is the magical thing that's going to help you, but it does help a lot, and it could be one of the areas that you might want to pay a little bit of attention to. Hydration does affect the way your muscles contract as well. Dehydration affects you in a more, and it does allow you to become more susceptible to cramping. One of the areas that usually is talked about a lot is if you don't drink and if you don't hydrate yourself well, you will feel that you'll cramp up more than anything. Yes, that is true, but it also comes down to a couple more components as well. And I'm going to talk a little bit about dehydration, maintaining hydration in a little bit, but consumption of water when you are cramping is not always the case. Cramping is something that's pretty, I'm going to try my best not to diverge off and tangent off too far, and I'll try to stay a little close, but one of the things that usually happens when you do feel dehydrated or when you are, sorry, cramping, is that you may have one or two things happening. You may have a muscle that's too weak, that's doing too much work, or it's not strong enough to do that amount of work because something else is not firing. So it could be a weakness issue and not so much a dehydration issue. And then yes, there is a dehydration component that is possible as well. Some people are just not consuming enough water because they are completely ignoring that concept of having to hydrate. They are physically active. They get to a workout and all of a sudden their muscles are cramping up. So like I said, it could be two things. It doesn't necessarily mean that hydration is the issue. To be honest with you, a lot of cases when I see someone cramping, more often than not, if you spend a little bit of time digging a little bit deeper and looking into the fine detail of how their body moves, and you start analyzing gait and posture and all these different things, you're going to notice more often than not that it is just a muscular imbalance that is causing the majority of these issues, more so than anything else. So it's really important that you do consider that as well, not just jump to, you know, going to hydration is the main cure for it. The issue with hydration is that we don't really have great guidelines. I know you see guidelines, and I know we've seen guidelines, we've heard this one. This is the most popular one, the 8 glasses of water. It's very, very hard to judge or to take an arbitrary amount of water, consume an arbitrary amount of water. Yes, there is probably some basis to that claim where when we look at the number of, you know, we look at the average population, we sample a group of like a million people, and, you know, we find that, you know, that 8 glasses was right around that sweet spot of how much someone should be consuming. Now, do I think that 8 glasses is over the number? No. Do I think it's under the number? No, it could very possibly could be. Do I think you should be consuming water? Yes. This is not an argument against consuming a high amount of water. The reason I'm going to bring up that claim of the 8 glasses of water a day is simply because it's so hard to know how much someone can need or how much someone should be consuming if you don't have all the other components of their life and all the other factors that are going to affect hydration accounted for. Another one that you'll notice, this is more in the fitness world or the exercise physiology world, is the 16 ounces every 30 minutes or something like that during physical activity. Again, very hard to be very accurate with that because of, you know, what it constitutes, you know, 30 minutes of vigorous or moderate or light activity. You know, how much of that time are they actually working for? Is it, you know, because during a game, let's say they're playing hockey, okay, for example, or they're playing soccer. Here's a better example. They're playing soccer. They could be on the field for 30 minutes, but for that 30 minutes, you know, for the first 30 minutes of the game, they could have been like very mild, active, then all of a sudden there's a shift in the game and the second 30 minutes is quite active, and then the last 30 minutes is like more active. It's very hard to really judge or to know what the best number is. And I don't know if it's 16 ounces every 30 minutes or 16 hours every 15 minutes, something like that, or 8 ounces every 15. I know it works out to the same 16 ounces every 30 minutes, but I think there is some variation of that. Again, it really comes down to the level of physical activity that the person is subjected to, and also the amount of sodium, salt or in minerals in general that the person is consuming throughout their day. A lot of individuals unknowingly consume way too much or way too little salt. This can go in both ways. So one of the things we have to consider is that if someone's active, the amount of salt their body loses through sweat and so on and through contraction is actually quite high. Now, if their body does not have enough salt to function, if they don't have enough sodium, potassium, if they don't have enough minerals in their body to function, there's a very high chance that their body will cramp, because dehydration is also about that balance, that homeostasis of how much, you know, how many minerals are in water. So how much do you have in terms of minerals and how much do you have in terms of water in your body circulating that's allowing a lot of these bodily functions to occur, i.e. muscle contractions, which is why people cramp. So one of the ways I like to tell people to do this is look at a urine chart, which I will post in the description. I'll post a YouTube link, or not a YouTube link. Obviously, you don't need a YouTube link for that. A website link for it, where you'll be able to go and see like a chart that'll give you a rough idea of where you should be. Using urine charts to be able to tell how much water you've consumed, if you consumed enough water or not, is really, really important. That's how a lot of our athletes here at Own Performance, you are basically control their hydration levels. It's a great way for you to see it, understand it, and be able to get an idea of how much water you should be consuming. Now, where would you consume water? Why would your numbers be affected? So, like I said, caffeine intake will dehydrate you. So even though you are drinking coffee that has water in it, you will be dehydrated from that. Physical activity will dehydrate you, right? You are going to be trying to basically keep yourself cooler by burning off more, by kind of sweating more. So you'll be using up a lot of your water reserves. Your amount of food that you intake and the type of food that you intake. Now, having a high vegetable diet will allow you to consume more water and will introduce more water into your system that way. Having a very high starchy diet where you're consuming things like breads and rice and pasta, those things, depending on how much they're cooked, are drier, so they are providing you less water. So the amount of water your body gets is actually also introduced into your body through, you know, the types of foods that you eat as well. So that's got to be accounted for as well. So that's why it's very hard to determine the 8 glasses of water, because if someone's like basically consuming strictly leafy greens and vegetables all day, they're having celery and they're having carrots and all these different things, so they're consuming fruits as well, cucumbers, watermelon, and all these different fruits. Well, your body's consuming a significant amount of water right there. And if you are having 8 glasses of water, but you're not physically active and your urine is very diluted, so very clear, almost white, you may cramp up simply because you don't have enough. Your concentration of salt in your body is not high enough because you flushed a lot of it out and because you've diluted it with all the water. So you want to make sure that you're hitting that right tint of yellow, and that is going to be in the chart that I provided in the description as well. How active you are. This is tough as well, as I mentioned, because of the amount of people that don't sweat as much. I don't sweat as much, so my body uses circulation as a way of keeping me cooler. So my dehydration is a little bit slower than someone else who sweats a lot. We had a player, and this is pretty funny to talk to. I wonder if he's actually listening to this, but we had a player that used to go into a game, and I just out of curiosity, I said, let me see what you weigh right before you go on the ice. Like, I'm just curious to see how much you weigh. Like, as you come in, you haven't consumed any food. You're literally about to put on your first piece of equipment to get ready to go out onto the ice. And I said, okay, sounds good. So he weighs himself in. We account for how much water he drinks, more or less, by saying, try to keep a bottle for you specifically on the ice, so that you know how much water you're drinking during a game, how much water you drink in between periods, and so on and so forth. He used to have to change his, basically the shirt and shorts and pants and socks between periods, like literally strip down, get rid of everything, and put a new pair on because of how drenched it was. It was literally like he would drop it on the ground and it would hit the ground like a brick. You would just hear this thud as it hit the ground. Did this basically 3 times because, you know, for every single period, he would have to change up. So we'd have 3 pairs of these on, a fourth one just in case we went into overtime in the playoffs, obviously. And I say this while I'm drinking coffee. It's pretty funny. And so I think he lost somewhere. We kind of did the quick math on it and basically came out to some like 9 to 10 pounds in a hockey game, which is insane to think about because some players were losing like 1 pound to 2 pounds. I think the average ended up being like 2.5 pounds of all the other players. He lost like between seven and nine, depending on how much he played in a specific game. And he was one of the leaders on the team. He was a veteran, so he played quite a bit, but still, like, that amount of water loss is insane. So you can see how some people are affected more than others, which is why consuming 8 glasses of water, having that strict number, is just not feasible. Now, rehydration. So how to rehydrate. If you are feeling dehydrated, and a quick way to know if you're dehydrated, outside of the urine test is to just pay attention to a couple of things. How are your eyes feeling? Are your eyes sore? Have you been playing? Have you been like, you know, spending a lot of time in front of the computer will cause a little bit of eye soreness or eye dryness. It's very normal. But there is a significant difference. There is a very important difference between dryness in your eyes and soreness in your eyes from staring at a screen. Dryness, usually you'll notice it even when you're not paying attention to a screen. You'll just notice yourself blinking more. You're going to notice your eyes are watering a little bit more than usual. It's because your body's feeling a little bit more dehydrated. Dry lips, dry hands, you know, outside of you working like something aggressive, like construction or like landscaping that will cause your hands to dry up around the house. But just regular every day, if you notice that your hands are a little bit drier than usual, your lips are drier than usual, especially around the winter time when things are drier, the house is drier, your home is drier. Usually I would recommend people start consuming a little bit more water just because of that, so that their skin and their cells can, can actually stay hydrated more than you normally would if you didn't drink enough water. The way you're going to want to rehydrate is, unfortunately, if you dehydrate yourself that much and it gets to a point where you've cramped, unfortunately, barring any strain that you created on your muscle from seizing up like crazy, you're probably looking at about a 2 to 3 day thing. A lot of people think you can just go home and chug water. That's not exactly how it works. Think about it this way. Take a little trip down memory lane. I'm sure a lot of people listening to this have at some point in time, not everyone, I'm not going to accuse everyone, but some people, most of us have, I have definitely, have gone out drinking one night and you notice that after you drank, you feel significantly more fatigued. Okay, so significantly more fatigued the next day. You feel drained, you feel hungover. And even though you drink water, and you drink your Gatorade and you do whatever, you still don't feel right. Your body just feels like drained. Your lips are still dry. You still don't feel great. I mean, you check your urine, your urine's like clear, but you don't feel fine. That's usually because you've consumed a diuretic, which is alcohol. Alcohol is a diuretic, so it's going to make you urinate more. And you haven't consumed enough water to balance that out. And because the diuretic functions a lot quicker than rehydration, reabsorption, because when you introduce a diuretic into your body, your ADH levels, so your antidiuretic hormone, is decreased, it's suppressed in that state. And because of that, your body is going to just start urinating like crazy. So the second you stop drinking, the diuretic is removed from your system because it's passed through your body, it's been metabolized. Then your antidiuretic levels go up, your ADH levels go up, then you stop urinating as much, and then you have to start reabsorbing water into the system. The problem is that reabsorption time is much longer than the excretion time. So you will take about, I usually tell people about 48 to 72 hours. 72 hours would be on the more extreme end of things, to be able to like rehydrate themselves to a point of homeostasis where their body is back to a normal level. Which is why even if you chug water, yes, your urine turns white, but that's only because you've consumed way more than your body can absorb, so it just secretes it right back out. Does it mean that that you should stop doing that? No. It means that you should maybe spread it out a little bit more, give your body a little bit more of a chance to consume and absorb the water as opposed to just flushing everything out, potentially taking out some nutrients with you. So does it mean stop drinking water? No. It just means don't try to consume, you know, 2 days worth of water in 1 hour. It's just not going to work. Your body's not going to be able to do it. It's going to excrete most of it. And the second you stop, you know, a couple of hours after, 3 or 4 hours later, you're going to be right back to where you started, where your urine's going to be, you know, dark yellow again because you still haven't consumed enough water to rehydrate yourself. So I would say just bring it back down, consume a normal amount of water, and it's going to take you some time to replenish it. Like I said, 24 to 48 hours. That's usually what I've seen in people. I don't know if that's a scientific study that will prove that. I'm pretty confident there is. I know for sure you cannot consume it all at once. It'll definitely take you a little bit longer than that. So If you guys have any questions on hydration, oh, before I let you go, I almost forgot this entire point here. Supplement drinks. So things like Gatorade, salt packs and all these things. How do they affect you as an athlete? Gatorade. Okay. So Gatorade basically came out years ago as a way to allow their athletes to get a proper balance and a proper mixture of salt and water into their system. And so the Florida Gators, which is where it came out, the Gatorade, I can't remember who it was. I don't know if it was their strength coach, athletic therapist, equipment manager, coach, someone in that organization, someone at the university started preparing this stuff for their athletes, and athletes started playing better. So here's what I would say. I would say, number one, if you can stick to regular food, stick to just plain water. You're going to have enough minerals in your food. You're going to have enough water in just drinking water. Does Gatorade work? Yes, it does, because conceptually it does have sodium, and conceptually it does have water. So yes, you will get that amount of water into your system 100%. Is it the best alternative? No. Like I said, regular food, regular water consumption, you will be just fine. But there are different alternatives out there of like hydration drinks, you know, things that are going to give you the proper balance, that are made a little bit more natural. I would prefer going more natural route. The reason for that is that sugar does dehydrate you. So Gatorade does have sugar. Even if it is a fake sugar, you don't want that going into your body while you are training. That's actually going to have a negative effect on you. So fake sugars are not great for you while you train. They do have a negative effect on your performance. You want to, if you're going to consume sugar, consume sugar. You know, you just don't, you shouldn't be drinking Gatorade as a way to stay hydrated. Usually I would reserve that for athletes. And even at that point, I would say, you know, just stick to water. If you notice that you do struggle with salt consumption throughout your day with the amount of work you're doing because your body just burns through it way too fast, you can go to a higher salt content diet, or you can go to salting, like adding a little bit of sodium. Gatorade does make these salt packs. Jesus, I can't remember what they're called. But they have these salt packs that you can add to water or Gatorade itself, and you can use that and drink that. It literally tastes like drinking ocean water, but I know some players, like, they need the salt content in their diet just because they don't get enough of it throughout their day, and their body kind of burns through salt quite quickly, and they notice cramping throughout the game, so they would take these salt packs. That is an alternative as well, especially if you are a distance runner. Spending a lot of time in the sun, usually you'll drink water and you'll consume water throughout your marathon or throughout your competitive training, and what'll end up happening is you'll end up just cramping up. So yes, adding higher amounts of salt into your energy drinks will definitely help the case. But again, if you guys have any questions, feel free to reach out. And until that next time, guys, keep building that foundation. Take care.